Hello, I'm Holly McClure with Real Talk, and I'm so glad you're joining me today. I have an unusual topic to talk about, but I promise you, you will not want to turn the radio off. You will not want to stop listening. Call a friend, call your family, call people you know, and tell them this is a show that's going to change their lives. And I promise, it is a show that will change your life. You will not be the same after you hear this interview and after you hear what my guest has to say. So it's one of those shows. With me is actually a dear friend whom I first interviewed back in 1999. I know, ancient days, right? When I was working for a radio station in Southern California on September the 10th, 1999, I interviewed this man who had just had an experience less than a year before. And he had been doing Bible studies, but he said he came on to my show as his first radio show to talk about it. His name is Bill Weiss. He wrote the book 23 Minutes in Hell, and he has an incredible story that tells how God gave him an out-of-body experience. It wasn't a death experience. It was an out-of-body experience, and he literally went to hell for 23 minutes. And he knows he did because it was verified by his wife, Annette, who is with us also in studio today. And also the fact that God had told him certain things, you know, along the way, that this is something that wasn't a dream. It wasn't something that he just imagined happened. He really, in reality, went to hell. And without further ado, I will bring Bill Weiss on to tell you his story. Bill, thank you for being with me today.
Thank you, Holly. It's an honor to be with you.
I'm so happy we get to be in studio together. It's like that first interview.
That's right.
23 years ago, yeah. We had this interview.
Yeah.
And the book, 23 Minutes in Hell. Okay, I have to tell you, this number 23 always comes up, doesn't it, Bill?
It does, especially with you.
So it does. Birthday is July 23rd. So, you know, I mean, this number 23.
Right.
And look what year we're coming into. I mean, we're in, actually.
Right.
We're in 2023.
That's right.
Which is why I think it's appropriate to have this interview as one of the first to kick off a year. Well, let's talk about this story. And with limited time, I really want to spend most of the time letting you tell what happened, because I know you do that the best. And for those of you, there's going to be scriptures, but I'll tell you what, if he gives all the scriptures, it'll take a lot of time. But he has a website, he has a place to go get information, he has a book that you can get. So there are resources that you can get scriptures, and it backs everything he's talking about, everything he's going to tell you. He researched first before he ever even spoke about it to make sure it was really from the Lord, that it was really biblical. And Bill, go ahead.
Yes. Well, thank you, Holly. And, you know, just to explain a little bit to the people, again, what this is. I've been a Christian for 53 years, and when this experience happened, I was a Christian for 28 years. So the only way a Christian, a born-again Christian, can see hell is in a dream or a vision. And to explain a little bit more, in a vision, you can actually travel, like Paul and John actually traveled to heaven. And in 2 Corinthians 12, 1 and 2, Paul, when he was caught up into heaven in a vision, he said whether in the body or out of the body, he didn't know. Well, the Lord showed me that I left my body. So you can travel again in your spirit body. 1 Corinthians 15, 44 talks about a natural body and a spirit body. And Job 7:14 says, you scare me with dreams and terrify me through visions. So you can have a terrifying vision. In Isaiah 21:2, he was given a grievous vision. And in Job 4:14, Eliphaz was given a vision that caused his bones to shake. So you can have a grievous, terrifying, bone-shaking vision. So that's what this was a vision. And, you know, I had never had a vision before. But my wife and I went to a prayer meeting that we attended every Sunday night. Nothing unusual about the night. I had never studied the topic of hell. I've never gone to dark movies. I've never drank. I've never taken drugs. And we came home. I got up at 3 o'clock in the morning, Holly, just to get a glass of water. And suddenly I was pulled out of my body, like being drawn up out of your body. And I found myself falling through the air down this long tunnel. And it was getting hotter and hotter. And I passed through this open cavern-like area, and I landed on a stone floor in a prison cell in hell. Rough-hewn stone walls, bars, but filthy, stinking, dirty, smoke-filled dungeon, like a dungeon. I had no idea how I got there or why I was there. I was fully awake and cognizant. This was not a dream. But, you know, the first thing I noticed was the intense heat. It was so far beyond the ability to sustain life, I wondered, how can I be alive in this heat? I knew immediately I was in hell, because there's no place like it. And I just to give it just a couple verses, Isaiah 24:22 says, "And they shall be gathered together as prisoners are gathered in the pit and shall be shut up in the prison." Proverbs 7:27 mentions going down to hell to the chambers of death, and where chambers means inner rooms. And one more, Job 17:16 says, "They shall go down to the bars of the pit." Well, I saw these bars and this prison cell. And the first thing I felt, I wanted to get up and run out of this prison cell. But I had no physical strength in my body. I wondered, why? What's wrong with my body? I can hardly move. But Isaiah 14:9 and 10 says, "Hell from beneath is moved to meet thee at thy coming. They will say, art thou become weak as we?" And Psalms 88:4 says, "I am counted with them that go down into the pit. I am as a man that has no strength." So one of the things you have to endure in hell, Holly, is physically you have no physical strength whatsoever. You know, if you had the flu and you felt weak, well, it's 1,000 times worse than that. Any movement takes tremendous effort. But see, Acts 17:28 says, "In him we live and move and have our being." So even movement comes from God. It's not automatic. Well, I looked up and I saw these two enormous beasts in the cell. They were demons. Reptilish in appearance, bumps and scales all over the one's body, a huge jaw, sunken in eyes, claws actually about a foot long, and these particular two were about 12 or 13 feet tall. That's not an exaggeration. There's even scripture for that, but I'll keep moving. They were pacing in the cell like a vicious caged animal. They had the most ferocious demeanor about them, and they were blaspheming and cursing God. They had an extreme hatred for God. Then they directed that hatred towards me. I wondered why, what have I done to them? But the one demon picked me up, threw me into the wall of this prison cell. I collapsed on the floor. I couldn't believe I was alive through this. I should be dead. I felt as if every bone in my body had been broken. Now, maybe a spirit doesn't have bones, but it sure felt that way. And then this other demon picked me up and dug its claws in my chest and just tore the flesh open. I mean, this is actually happening. I couldn't believe I'm still alive through this. I noticed I had a body. Matthew 10:28 says, "Fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." And the rich man Jesus talked about in Luke 16, he had a body, he had a tongue. He wanted a drop of water to cool his tongue. He was tormented in the flame. Well, this body withstands these torments. And something else I noticed about the body, there was no blood or water coming from the wounds. It just was dry. But Leviticus 17:11 says, "The life of the flesh is in the blood." Well, there's no life in hell, so there's no blood. And Zechariah 9:11 says, "Thy prisoners out of the pit where there is no water." There's not one drop of water in hell. And these demons have no mercy over you whatsoever. They have extreme hatred for mankind. Now, about this time, it went dark. Now, I believed it was God's presence there to illuminate it so I could see. But then God withdrew his light, his attribute of light, and it resumed its normal state of absolute pitch black darkness. I mean, you cannot see the hand in front of your face. But Lamentations 3:6 says, "He has set me in dark places as they that be dead of old." But you know, it wasn't just dark. You could actually feel the darkness. And Exodus 10:21 mentions a darkness that may be felt. So it's not an exaggeration. It's just the evil penetrates every cell in your body. Now, I was taken out of this prison cell and I was placed over next to this large, raging pit of fire. And this pit was about a mile across. Now, I just understood that. Now, your senses are keener in hell, in your spirit body. I just understood this pit was about a mile across, like a huge hole in the ground with flames raging high up into this open cavern. And it was not metaphorical or allegorical flames. I felt the heat. I saw the fire. But more importantly, it's what the scripture says. Just to give you two, Ezekiel 26:20. Well, I'll give you the Psalms 11:6 says, "Upon the wicked, he will rain fire and brimstone and a horrible tempest." Psalms 140 verse 10, "Let burning coals fall upon them. Let them be cast into the fire, into deep pits." Many other scriptures about the fire. But Holly, this is where I could first see people. I looked into this pit and I could see thousands of people, the outlines of people burning in this pit. Now, most of us have never seen a person on fire, unless you're a fireman. But it is the most horrible thing to see a person burning. And you cannot distinguish a man from a woman. It just looked like flesh hanging off their bones. They look like skeletons. They were adult-size skeletons that I could see. And the screams from the people were deafening. It was so loud, you want to escape the screams, but you can't. You have to endure that for all eternity. But Isaiah 57:21 says, there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. Mm. There's no peace of mind of any kind.
Wow.
And, you know, I understood I was down deep in the earth. I descended to get there. I ascended when I left. But more importantly, there's 49 scriptures that point out where the current hell is. Sheol, or Hades, is a Greek word. And I'll just give two, Ezekiel 26:20 and Numbers 16:32 and 33. Very clear, it's down deep in the earth, but I knew that. But I also understood something else, that there were different levels of torment and degrees of punishment. But remember, Jesus said in Matthew 23:14, you shall receive the greater damnation. Well, that infers a lesser damnation. Or Hebrews 10:28, of how much worse of a punishment. So there's a worse punishment. But my point is, there is no tolerable, comfortable level in hell. Mm. Any level is far worse than a person's mind can even imagine.
Now, did you know, did you think, well, wait a minute, Annette, I'm married and I have family. I mean, did you know who you were at that point or where you went?
I did. I had my full memory. And I thought about my wife up on the earth. And you don't realize how tormenting of a thought this is, but I knew I would never see her again. I'd never be able to say goodbye. And to have no finality with your loved ones, that's really a tormenting thought. And that's for all eternity. They'll never know that you still exist. See, death does not mean cease to exist. Death means separation from God. You still exist. You're just down deep in the earth. And Job 7:9 says, he that goes down to Sheol shall come up no more. You understand you're not getting out. So I would never see her again or anybody. I thought about people. I wanted to talk to just a person. But those people I saw in the pit, they're all kept at a distance. So you have no conversation with anyone for all eternity. You're isolated and alone all by yourself. And that's pretty tormenting. The stench in hell is the most foul, putrid, disgusting odors. You know, Jesus rebuked the foul spirits, Mark 9:25. They have a disgusting, foul, putrid, decaying odor to them, but also the smell of burning sulfur. And, you know, if you go to Hawaii to the volcano, they have signs posted where you can't go past a certain point because the toxicity coming up from the volcano, it's called sulfur dioxide. If you breathe it, it will kill you. It's toxic. Well, sulfur is just another word for brimstone. So you're breathing in this foul, putrid, disgusting air that you don't want to breathe. But it's even worse than that, because there is not enough air to breathe in hell. So you have to fight and gasp for even the tiniest bit of oxygen. And maybe only an asthma patient or a fireman can relate to this. But this is how you breathe in hell. I just have to demonstrate it. It was like, that was as much air as you could get. So any moment you feel like you're going to suffocate. But see, Isaiah 42:5 says, the Lord gives breath to the people upon the earth. You're not upon the earth. You're down deep beneath the earth. God is very specific with his word. And you need to sleep in hell. You never get to go to sleep. Now, if here you stay up for two nights, right? No, go to sleep. You pretty much, you can't function. You're a wreck. Well, in hell, you need to sleep also. But you never get to sleep. And every day it gets progressively worse. You know, Revelation 14, 10 and 11 says, and they shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the Lamb and the presence of the holy angels. And the smoke of their torment ascends up forever and ever. And they have no rest day nor night. Now, that primarily means no rest from the torment, but no rest of any kind, because Isaiah 57:20 says the wicked are like the troubled sea that cannot rest. You know, the sea is always moving.
And where you were at, you said you knew that you weren't, this wasn't all of hell. You were just in a certain section of hell.
Right. Hell is deep and large, it says in the Bible. I was only in a piece of it. You know, I only saw a small piece of it.
But also what you saw there was, it would be horrifying. Yeah. It's like a horrible monster movie, right?
Right. Well, you know, I saw the prison cells. Some people are in prison cells. I saw this huge pit of fire where people were in that pit of fire. And I saw individual pits of fire where people were in their own individual pit. And fire would come up on their bones and just they'd scream in agony. And it appeared like the flesh just melted off their bones.
And didn't you say you saw giant, like, spiders and, I mean, creatures?
Yes. Well, when I was looking at this big pit of fire, I was standing beneath this tunnel, these cavern walls that were ascending upward, and all along the cavern walls were different demons of all different sizes and shapes. Some were only 2 and 3 feet tall, some were 12 and 13 feet tall, but they were all twisted, deformed, grotesque, had no symmetry to their bodies, and they had an extreme hatred for mankind. But yes, yeah, some looked like, they looked like giant spiders. 3 and 4 feet across that were demons that size, you know, and also there were snakes. And I noticed I was standing on a bed of maggots.
Ugh.
But Isaiah 14:11 says, where the maggot is spread under thee and the worm will cover thee. I know this is disgusting, but, you know, that's why Jesus said there, where their worm dies not and the fire is not quenched. He used the word maggot. And in Job 24:20, it says, where the maggot will feed sweetly on thee. So is that disgusting enough? Maggots are feeding on people. So that's another horrible thing that you have to endure in hell. And one more thing to explain about the darkness. It is so dark, I could only see through the light of the flames by this big pit. But it's so dark, it consumes that light. So I can only see through it and along the edges. But it's really, really dark in hell. And the thirst, like the rich man wanted a drop of water. I desperately wanted one drop. And if I was to give you one drop of water, that wouldn't suffice, would it?
No,
you wouldn't value
no,
one drop.
No.
But in
no.
hell you would. You would do anything for that one drop of water.
Because there is no water. There's no blood. There's no liquid there.
Right. Just like that rich man wanted one drop. That was 2,000 years ago. Jesus mentioned him. And just think, he's still longing for that one drop that he'll never get. But I want to explain something else too. You know, it's a place of confusion. Jeremiah 20:11, Isaiah 45:16 mention a land of everlasting confusion. Job 10:22, a land without any order. You know, we like things in order in life, right? Because we serve a God of order. Well, hell is the antithesis. Chaos, confusion, hectic. Nothing makes any sense in hell. It's just a place of confusion. And, you know, I want to explain something, too, about the fear that you experience in hell, because here we're comfortable, people are listening to this, but we've all gone through some kind of fear in life. Well, I'm going to share with you an experience I had so you can relate to the fear that you have to endure for all eternity. I used to surf when I was 17 years old, and we were surfing off Cocoa Beach, Florida, and the guy next to me suddenly got his leg torn off. Sharks. And blood all over the water. Now there was a frenzy of sharks in the water. And I got up on my 9-foot board to get on my knees to get my legs out of the water. Well, the shark came back. It was a tiger shark. And it bit my board right in half. Now I'm in the water. And that shark came back and grabbed my leg and pulled me down under the water. Now you can at least imagine the fear that I felt at that moment. There's not much more terrifying than that in life. But that fear that I felt at that moment paled in comparison to what you feel in hell. I mean, it wouldn't even register. But Psalm 73:18-19 says, you cast them down into destruction where they are utterly consumed with terror. So you consume with this terror for all eternity.
Wow. Now, you at one point then began to ascend up into that tunnel, right?
Right, right.
And tell what happened then, because there is a redemptive part of this story where at least you're encouraged.
Oh, yes, absolutely. As I was looking at all this horror and demons shoving people back in, people burning, and the demons and the maggots and the snakes, I began ascending up this tunnel, and it went completely dark. I could not see anything. And then suddenly, this bright light appeared. Now, Holly, I knew immediately who it was. I didn't see his face. I just saw the outline of a man standing in this bright, pure, holy light. But when Jesus shows up, there's no doubt in your mind who he is. And I just called out his name. I said, Jesus. And he said two words. He said, I am. And when he said those two words, I went out. I don't know if I died or passed out. I can only explain that through Revelation 1:16. When John saw him, he said his countenance was bright as the sun, and I fell at his feet as one dead. And so, but after a time, Holly, he touched me. And I came to, and you know, it hit me so strongly, even though I've been a Christian for 28 years at that point, that if he wouldn't have gone to the cross, I would be in that place for all eternity. I was so grateful for the cross, for what he did, that the creator of the universe died for me, that I wouldn't have to go to hell. I didn't want to ask him any questions. I just wanted to thank him. I just said, thank you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for giving your life for me. And after a time, those thoughts started coming to my mind. And I didn't want to ask him any questions, but he would answer my thoughts. Psalms 139:2 says he answers our thoughts afar off. And I thought, Lord, why did you send me to this horrible place? He said, because many people do not believe hell is real. He said, even some of my own people do not believe hell exists. Now, that statement surprised me. I thought all Christians believe in hell. But we have found out since that many Christians believe in a teaching called annihilationism. That's a teaching that says if you deny Jesus, you simply cease to exist. Well, that's not true. Jesus said in Matthew 25:46, these shall go in everlasting life, and these shall go in everlasting punishment. He used the word everlasting. That's the word aionios. So just as heaven is everlasting, so is hell everlasting. And so he wanted me to let people know, hey, this place is real, like the Bible says. Now, another thing, I thought, Lord, why did those demons hate me so much? And he said, because you're made in my image and they hate me. Remember, Jesus said in John 15:18, they hated me before they hated you. See, demons hate God, but they can't hurt him, but they can hurt his creation.
Now, you didn't know you were a Christian when you were in hell, did you?
No, that was another thing I'm going to explain. When I was there, I was there as an unsaved person. Now you say, where's that in the Bible? God actually blocked it from my mind that I was a Christian. In Luke 24:16, when Jesus appeared to the disciples on the road to Emmaus, it says their eyes were holden that they should not know him. Well, John MacArthur's commentary, Matthew Henry's commentary point out they were kept by God from recognizing him. God hid it from their mind, and he hid it from my mind for this reason. See, if I was there as a Christian, which I was, but I didn't know, I would have known, praise God, he's getting me out of here. And right, as Christians, we know our destiny is heaven. Well, he wanted me to feel what they feel, hopelessness. See, Isaiah 38:18 says, those who go down to the pit cannot hope for thy truth. And we know Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. They have no hope for him because it's too late. And that, Holly, is the worst part of hell, understanding you'll never get out.
And wow. And you were above the earth at this time because you had been ascending up with Jesus, right, as he was talking to you.
Yes.
So you were actually then in space above the earth.
Right. We came out of this tunnel, and we actually entered this whirlwind tunnel that extends above the earth. And as we went above the earth, he had me look back at this tunnel, and people were falling. The people that were dying on the earth here were falling one after another back down this tunnel that goes into hell. The people that don't know Jesus, that have not repented their sin, was falling back down into hell, one after another, after another, after another. And he allowed me to feel just a piece of his heart. And I couldn't stand it. The anguish he feels for a soul falling into hell. The love he has for people. You know, as Ephesians 3:19 says, his love passes knowledge. He loves people far more than we can love our own loved ones. And he doesn't want people to go to hell. And he allowed me to feel peace of his heart. And I said, Lord, stop. I don't even want to feel a little bit of what you feel. But he wanted me to remember that so I would have a heart of compassion to share with people the way of salvation and go and share this message. You know, it's not something I really wanted to go do. You know, I had a real estate company making a lot of money. I didn't need this. My wife and I traveled. I told my best friend, and it spread from there. And we got invited all over the country for the next 7 years. We paid our own way. We never took one penny from anybody. But it was because of the severity of this place. If people don't realize that if they don't repent and receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior, they will spend eternity in hell forever. And it's their own choosing. People go there because they reject Jesus Christ. He's not sending anybody. He gives man a free will to choose. You know, and that's what I want to get across to people.
So you were at that point in space with the Lord, and you ask him why you were there. And, well, you ask him, you know, I think you said something like you ask him why'd you choose me? And he didn't answer. And then, but he did tell you about go tell my people.
Right. You know, and I wondered even why he picked me. I'm the least likely, you know, but he told me to go and tell people. And I think it's because a lot of churches aren't teaching the truth about hell today. It's not really brought out because people cannot reconcile a loving God with a God that will allow people to suffer. But you have to remember, it's the same God that died a horrible death on the cross to keep us out of hell. What more would we want him to do?
You know. Now tell how you went back down into your body, how you knew that you went back to Earth, to your home.
Well, we came back up on our home, and I could see my body lying on the floor right through the roof. And I thought, that's not me. This is the real me, the spirit man. But I came back into my body. And when I came back in, the memories and horrors of hell flooded back into my mind. Because, see, traveling back with the Lord, I had no fear. But when he left, the memories came back. And I actually went into a traumatized state, and I started screaming. And my screams woke up my wife. And the first thing she did is look at our digital clock, which read 3:23. So I got up at 3 o'clock, and she saw it was 3:23, so that's where the 23 comes from. But she found me on the floor screaming, and that's not my personality to be that, emotional. And I got out to her. I said, pray for me. The Lord has taken me to hell. Well, she immediately prayed, and God removed the horror but left the memory. You know, we know he can divide both soul and spirit, so he left that memory. But if he wouldn't have taken out the horror, I physically would have died. Seeing hell is that severe, it will just kill you.
And you got up out of your bed to go get a drink of water and were dropped into hell, but you were in the living room when Annette got up. You were not in that bedroom.
No, because I had walked out to the living room to get the glass of water, and that's when I was pulled out of my body. And so my body was still remaining there on the living room floor.
Wow. So. And since then, you have traveled all over the world. And in fact, for the first few years, you did it on your own dime. I mean, you weren't getting paid. You didn't, I say, pay me and I'll come tell you the story. You guys just spent your own money and your own time for 7 years.
Right. And we've been traveling ever since. We left our careers. We're both making a lot of money. And we left it to go do this because God told me to, number one, and to be obedient. But also because, like I said, to let people know what they're facing if they don't repent of their sins. So we've been traveling. We've seen hundreds of thousands of people get saved. And Christians wake up to have more of a fear of the Lord, to walk in holiness and resist sin, and also to have more of a passion for the lost, a desire to want to witness. I mean, that's what we're all called to do. So it motivates Christians to fulfill the purpose, to be about the Father's business.
You know, Bill, I actually want to, if you would please for me, stay, because I actually want to do another segment of a show, because there's more to tell after. But for this part of it, where can people go for a website? Where can they get information? Where can they order a book? Where can they find out about your story and other things that you minister to?
Sure.
To talk about?
Yeah, we talk about a lot of other things, but our website is 23minutesinhell.org. The number 23minutes.hell, 23minutesinhell.org, or soulchoiceministries.org. Soul, S-O-U-L, choiceministries.org. And we have lots of information. We have the whole testimony up there. You can watch everything for free and so forth.
And you're on Facebook, Instagram, right? Instagram?
Yes.
And so people can go, because you have wonderful teaching on Instagram, I think, and I've seen that. Wonderful teaching on Instagram and Facebook, correct?
We do. We have lots of teachings and short videos and podcasts, everything on there that people can listen to and view.
Thank you. There's never enough time. It's so phenomenal, this story. There's never enough time. Thank you for being with me today. And we are going to continue discussion and let people tune in again to hear a little bit more from Bill Weiss. But thanks, Bill.
Thank you so much, Holly. Again, honor to be with you.